If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and I will begin reading in verse 6. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. I'm going to stop right there. Now, it is said in this day, and actually in days past, you ought not talk bad about people. My mother had a saying, if you haven't got anything good to say about someone, say nothing at all. And she, for the most part, lived by that phrase. But if you knew her well enough, you could tell how she felt about people by what she never talked about them. Because she wouldn't say anything about them. But I agree partially with that statement, with those statements. I certainly don't want to encourage or give any idea that I approve of gossip. The tongue is an unruly member and can cause great harm. But I do want to state this boldly as I can. Our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he called a liar a liar. He spoke plainly. He spoke plainly. I know it's frowned upon to speak ill of anyone's religion, but I will quote and expound upon the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the world think what it may. It will anyway. But our Lord spent a good deal of time relating to his disciples the errors of the religious world. False religion and false professors of true religion. He spent a great deal of time on both of those. So to ignore that or to gloss over that is to shun a great deal of the Old Testament and even the New Testament, Gospels and Epistles. And I don't want to do that. And I've had this on my mind for a little while, and it finally came together. So now it's time. First statement in verse 6 is that we have Jesus said unto them. These are the words of the Son of God incarnate in the flesh. And the first thing he says is, take heed and beware. Now this is two different things. I looked at take heed. Literally, it means to stare at. That's what it literally means. It means to see with the eyes. To perceive with the mind what you see with your eyes. To discern. Believers, disciples of Christ, are not to go through this world with blinders on. We are to see those around us. And we are to perceive those around us. And we are to make, to discern some things. Oh, then it comes up. You know it does. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Oh, shut up. If y'all knew what that meant, you wouldn't say it. It does tell you, judge righteous judgment. Wait a minute, judge not? Yes. No, with what judgment you judge, that's what's going to be judged unto you. So, judge righteous judgment. What? According to the Scriptures. According to the Word of God. And if it doesn't have anything to do with God, don't worry about it as far as that part goes. People are so head up now, and they call it, in some circles, let's just put it that way, hate crimes. That's what they call. Now, when they're talking about you, it's free speech. But when you talk about somebody else, that's a hate crime. There's your definition, if you want one. Because if you're disagreeing with somebody, it's hate speech. That's the way this world is. That's the way this world is. I agree full force. In America, you have the right to worship any way you please. I do also. And by this book, is the way I choose by His grace to worship God. And what this man said, the Son of God, said to take heed and beware of certain people. That's what he says. That's what he says. Believers and only believers have been given eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. This is the gift of God by the Holy Spirit. We're not to go through this world, like I said, with blinders on. We are to see and we are to discern some things. No one else in the world has this other than believers. Now, I will admit there are some perceptive people out there, naturally. There are some who see and write about and speak about the state and behavior of men. And they come very close to understanding, but they still miss the mark because they don't understand the source of the problem. The source of the problem is that we are sinners by nature. We are to discern what and who we are looking at by what we see and what we hear. But he doesn't leave it there. We'll just take heed. He says, and beware. That small conjunction, and. It's a connecting conjunction, not a separating one. And this word, beware, means to hold the mind, to pay attention to, and to be cautious about. Basically, be wary. Perceive, discern, and be wary. That's good instruction anytime. Christ told us to pay attention to some things. Christ told us to discern things. Why? Don't be ignorant. See, perceive, and be cautious. Jesus Christ was teaching here. His disciples. He was teaching here. He explained and expounded upon Old Testament scriptures at times. And he spoke of himself. What? He's the Son of God. And he spoke everything according to the will of the Father. Every single bit of it the truth. Paul states throughout his epistles, I would not have you to be ignorant. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. I would not have you ignorant, for we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant. Let's be clear. Paul's writing to the brethren. He said it two or three different times in those statements. Every time he wrote that, he was wanting you not to be ignorant. And Christ told us to take heed and beware. We are not to be ignorant of what is around us. Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples and no one else. We cannot help the ignorance of the natural man. No one can except God. The natural man is naturally ignorant of the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. There's no way. But we are to know some things. But here's the point. This is about those Christ has chosen and called out. These are the ones who are to take heed and beware. His words, the words of our Lord, will go unheeded, misunderstood, distorted, abused, and lied about by the world. We're to take heed and to beware of that. The author and finisher of faith does not leave his called out people ignorant. He teaches them and they learn. Because our faith, the faith of God's elect, is not a blind faith, no matter what anyone tries to tell you. Because he is the one who opens the understanding. And Jesus Christ here explains to his disciples. He explained to his disciples all the time things he didn't explain to other people. It's given unto you to know about the parable of the sower. He explained parables to them after he just spoke them to the masses and did not explain. But here he states plainly, the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is what he is telling his disciples to take heed and beware of. Now I have to say this here because it's in the scriptures plainly. At this time when he said this, Jesus' disciples totally missed this point. I love the honesty of the scriptures. These men, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this account down. And they told the truth about how they missed what the Lord of glory had just told them. Even though they had been following him. Even though they were with him. They are so honest in these accounts of the gospel, they will put down their own failure. There's no other religious writing in the world that will do this sort of thing. You understand? This is the way it actually happened. They told on themselves all the time. After God spoke to them, they thought he was berating them for not bringing bread. The writer admitted his own error here. This lets us know that these men who followed after Christ didn't get everything until he explained it to them. Now, that's a comfort to me. Because there are times that I read that I don't get things. I don't quite understand what it's talking about, what it's speaking about, what I'm supposed to be hearing, what I'm supposed to be seeing here. It's a comfort to me to know that these men walked with Jesus and he spoke to them and they didn't get it sometimes. And I want to tell you this. Don't feel bad when you don't understand some things. Because you're not alone. All of mankind is in that boat. And more specifically, I'm going to tell you, all believers are in that boat. There are times we don't understand the scriptures. There are certain scriptures that you don't understand. And there will always be things about God that you're not going to understand. About Jesus Christ and about His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that we will not understand. However, don't be complacent. Because the Scripture is given to us to understand some things. The question is, do you want to understand? Study the Scriptures. Do you want to understand? Ask someone, another believer. Because there are things that somebody else may get that you don't get. But above all, ask God the Father to give you the understanding of the Scripture. In that case, a particular Scripture. And He will. I believe that wholeheartedly. He's done it for me. Christ will open your understanding, and it says it specifically in there, of the Scriptures. Then opened He their understanding of the Scriptures. It won't be perfect, but it will be true. Because He is the answer. And He has all the answers. And He gives lovingly, willingly, and freely to His people. Because it's not just Paul that wouldn't have you to be ignorant. He got that from Christ who taught him. Then he states in verse 11, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" He knew exactly why it was they didn't understand. Our Lord God incarnate in the flesh knew all men and didn't need anybody tell Him what was in man's heart or what man knew and didn't know. But guess what? Jesus was not letting them off the hook. They should have understood. They should have understand. They should understand. We should understand the Scriptures. The problem is with us, as it always is. We are to discern the words and the message of Christ. We don't have to be wary of His words, but we are to discern them. We are to perceive them. We are to see them and be wary of what men say. Then it says, they understood how that He bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The disciples figured out what Christ was saying, using the word leaven, but referring to the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I can almost see it when they say, oh, it's one of those, oh, that's what He meant. Oh, they understood when Christ explained it to them. That's the only way you're going to understand anything, is when He explains it. He opens your understanding of the Scriptures. This is how His disciples were taught. This is how every disciple was taught. The doctrine was what He was warning them about. Take heed and beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See it with your eyes. Perceive it. Pay attention to it. And be cautious about it. Be wary of what their doctrine. That's what it says. Be wary of their doctrine. Now, first of all, I want to look at the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I got a statement here I copied from John Gill. And he states it plainly here. The doctrines that the Pharisees taught were the commandments and inventions of men. The traditions of the elders, free will, and justification by the works of the law. That's what John Gill said about it, and I got nothing bad to say about that. This is what they did. But what I specifically want to look at, or where I specifically want to look, is Matthew chapter 23. And beginning in verse 13. Well, just for verse 2. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after what their works. For they say and do not. All their works is verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, here's the word, hypocrites. Hypocrites. Seven times in this chapter, he calls them hypocrites. I think he meant it. And it's just me. I'm beginning to suspect he meant it. Seven times in this chapter. There are other places where he calls them that. But seven times in this chapter, he calls them hypocrites. Continuing in verse 13, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They try to put a gate on heaven and the entrance into the kingdom. They wouldn't go in themselves, and they didn't want anybody else to go in. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. They pray to God while they devour widows' houses. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Hypocrites. The word hypocrite is defined as an actor, a staged actor, or an actor under an assumed character. I like that one. And in those days, actors were not held in high esteem. This is an insult. But this is the words of Jesus Christ, and it is an accurate depiction of what these Pharisees and scribes were. And I, in particular, like the word better, my word better, faker. They were faking it. They were faking their religion. They were playing church, if you like. Amen. They were acting, not doing. They were pretending. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying about them. And this is what he's telling people the disciples and us, take heed and beware of their doctrine. Why? Because they're pretending. They're pretending to know God. They're pretending to teach about God. They're pretending to make long prayer. Pretense. That's what that means. For pretense. For fakery. For show. To put on an act. They're making long prayer. And all the while they're devouring widows' houses. They're not taking care of the ones they're to take care of. They don't enter into the kingdom and they don't want anybody else to enter in. They'd hinder them if they could. They can't, but they'd hinder them if they could. Verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. What have they omitted? Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Religious people are concerned with the outward show. The outward appearance. The outward act. They don't understand that the problem is within. That's where the problem is. You can clean the outside up just as bright and shiny as you want, and the inside be, what is it? We'll get to it. Dead men's bones. Why? Because the building is still a sepulcher. Amen. It's a crypt that Jesus Christ is using in that example. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchers, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. The outside is not as important as the inside. Because if the inside is clean, the outside will show it. But there are so many people who are concerned with the outward appearance, and they are all around us. They're all around us. But they don't understand the problem has always been within man. And it's within me, not just you. You understand? I'm not excluding myself from any of this. But I've heard other people preach like they don't ever have any problems, Mason. Like, my gosh, you know, you should be as holy as I am. No, I'm hoping you're a lot better than I am. The inside is what matters. I said it a couple of weeks ago. So I don't say it wrong. Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Our defilement is built in. These Jews, these Pharisees, these scribes, These fakers, these hypocrites, weren't telling that. They thought they were keeping the law. They thought they were not defiled. Christ said, outwardly, might indeed appear beautiful, but within you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Because even though you clean it up, it's still a sepulcher. That's the metaphor. That's the example. It's a place for dead things. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, is verse 29. Why? Because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, and ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. I had a Methodist minister explain to me one time. No, I'm sorry. Lutheran minister. Explained to me one time. That once, if Martin Luther was alive today, he could explain all the stuff that's in the Lutheran church right now and their doctrine. Because, see, he didn't know what we knew. That man ain't never read Martin Luther. You read Martin Luther's stuff, you read The Bondage of the Will, Martin Luther knew exactly what he was talking about. The problem's within. They are all around us. There are people who pay homage to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, but they won't read some of his sermons. Because some of his sermons, that Free Will of Slave was a heck of a sermon. You understand? They'll pay homage to old dead guys. Why? Because old dead guys can't talk back. That's exactly it. They'll honor them with their lips. But their heart is far from where those men's heart was. And that's what Christ is saying here. You're the children of them that killed the prophets. You're just like your daddies. You're just like your father. And he says, "What? Woe unto you. You're faking it. You're paying homage to Moses, but you don't understand Moses because Moses wrote of me. And if you believe Moses, you'd hear my word." That's what Christ told him. Moses wrote of me. He saw my day. Abraham saw my day. He was glad. He rejoiced. And he's still rejoicing. Amen. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, the religious. Now the doctrine of the Sadducees. Again, I wrote down what John Gill said. It says, was that there was no resurrection of the dead, nor angels, nor spirits. And I like that because he stole it from the Apostle Paul, or Luke, actually. Because Luke was writing about the Acts of Paul in the book of Acts, and he gave us a description of the Sadducees. This is Acts 23 and verse 8. I'm just going to read it. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel, nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. Now, to my knowledge and to my thoughts, there isn't much to a religion that has no resurrection, no angels, no spirit. And actually, I have a tendency to lump these people in with the secular. Because the secular, the people who believe in science, people who believe in evolution, they have a tendency to also go along the same line and say there was no resurrection, there is no angel, there is no spirit. They don't believe in any of that. Now these Sadducees were religious, but their beliefs were along the lines of the secular. The scientists. They claim to have no religion, scientists, but they have a system of belief in science. And the scripture has a comment on science. It says, Paul wrote to old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, I do want to say I'm not against science, but I do also want to say I can recognize speculative fiction when I hear it. I've read a lot of it. I'm not against speculation, as long as it's called that. They call it the theory of evolution, but it actually scientifically doesn't qualify as a theory, because a theory has to be something that can be proved by the scientific definition of it. It's a supposition of evolution. The other thing about speculation I'm not against is I don't want people to ignore the facts when they crop up. Someone wrote a remarkable thing that I read one time. Now I might have to paraphrase it because I looked for it and I couldn't find it. What he said was, science is not all bad, but sometimes we need to be delivered from the conclusions of scientists or scientific men. The problem is not with the facts. The problem is never with the facts. The problem is with men who interpret facts or make up facts. I'm not against science, but the denial of the resurrection, the denial of angels, or the denial of the spirits is a denial of God, who made all things.
Amen.
And that goes for a religious denial or a scientific denial. Either way, it doesn't matter. You're denying God. There is no difference. They deny the Father, they deny the Son, and they deny the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Christ said to take heed and beware their doctrine. Now, the religious of our day and the scientists of our day, the secular of our day, are no different. I heard a woman say the other day, she's reading a book about a fellow who wrote a book. He wrote this book, and it's about Christianity for people who don't like Christians. I'm sure the book is horrible. I just gathered that. Then she went on to explain it rather succinctly to the fact that, well, it follows the teaching of Jesus, not the teaching of Paul. Well, Paul was a misogynist. Paul hated women. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't start now. Paul knew Lydia, the seller of purple. And Paul preached to women as well as to men. Lydia accepted some, got some of the disciples out of prison and gave them, they lived in her house. And I'm not going to talk about Ananias and Sapphira, other people that Paul thanked God for. Yes, I know. Paul said, let your women keep silent in the church. Well, if the men were making noise, he'd have wrote, let the men keep silent in the church too. Because everything is supposed to be done in order. Everything. But God, people get it in their heads that there's a difference between the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of Paul. There's not. There's not. They like John, the apostle of love, but I tell you, they need to read his epistles first. So this is the whole thing. People have all these great opinions. They have no knowledge of what the book actually says. And they don't want any. They just want what they want. They want their facts that they, as they know them, and don't even, I didn't even try to talk to them. It's just, there was no help. There was no sense in it for me. If they wanted to talk, I would, but they didn't. They want to spout. And that's what this world is doing right now, all around us. It is spouting nonsense. It is spouting lies about God and about Christ and about His Spirit. It is spouting lies about us. Anyone who believes what this book says. Take heed and beware of their doctrine. Don't be ignorant of it. Don't make it your life's work to try to destroy them or anything, because that ain't going to work either. But be aware, be wary, take heed. What? Paul said, avoid such. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again this time, this place. And thank you, Lord, most of all for your Son, our Lord, who came and gave Himself for us and saved us from our sins by His perfect life, perfect sacrifice, perfect blood that was shed for the remission of sins. In His name we pray. Amen.